This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Of course, it's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We'll get to the jobs report at some point in time this hour. Maybe play a voicemail or two. Maybe a little World War I talk about the tunnels. But before I get to that, I want to get to this one here. And I want to remind you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, and you can leave us a voicemail, 877-377-4373. Now, hey, Jesse, I have a ticket for the Trump rally in Butler tomorrow. For those who don't know, Butler, Pennsylvania, obviously where Trump almost got killed. He's going back there for a rally, which I think it's really, really cool. To go back and just, it's a good show of defiance. I like it. Anyway, she said, I'm excited to go and see him in Vance, speak in person. However, I'm concerned about some unhinged street commie using this very public event to either try and hit Trump again or take out his supporters. If I were your sister, what would your advice be? Attend or listen on the radio? Thanks. Keep up the work you do. It makes a difference to a lot of people. Okay. So, let's have a frank talk about this. I have told you before about certain areas and not protesting there, like blue areas, Washington, D.C. You should not be attending political protests in Washington, D.C. Not that you don't have a right, I'm not saying that, but Washington, D.C. should be treated as the Soviet Union. Because that's what it is. It is run by communists at every single level of power. Talk to one of the January 6th political prisoners and they will inform you about the justice system in Washington, D.C. The federal government will entrap you, throw you in a cage for the rest of your life without the tiniest bit of hesitation. They'll do the same thing to you in New York City, in L.A., keep your protests out of blue areas. I've told you that before. And I've also told you that's why you need to get to a red area. That said, communists are violent. We know that. They've been committing acts of violence against the right for decades now. Decades. Again, if we had a media, this would be widely known how violent street communists are. But the American media wants you to be hurt, so they cover up these things. Should you go? If you were my sister, would I say go? We must not allow violent street communists to stop us from gathering together. If you want to go to a Trump rally in Butler, Pennsylvania tomorrow, put on your friggin' MAGA hat and your Sunday best, and you go out there and listen to what will hopefully be our next president and cheer and bring friends and have a good time. And if God forbid something happens to you, something happens to you. But we cannot allow these people to intimidate us out of having a life at all. You know, you remember after 9/11, this got a lot of talk. And when ISIS was rampaging through Europe and killing people here, remember, they did kill a lot of people here too. When ISIS was on the rampage, this was a central theme of don't let the terrorists win. And what were we all saying then? Don't let the terrorists win. If you stop living your life, I'm not going to fly here. I'm not going to visit there. I'm not going to do this. I'm too scared about this. I'm not going to go to Paris. I won't visit Africa. I don't want to go to Chicago. This is the only life you are ever going to live. You will not be reincarnated. This is the only period of time God gave you to live on this planet. Go live. If you want to go to a Trump rally, get your butt out to a Trump rally and live it up and celebrate it. Don't let the moment pass. Go. All right? All right. Let's do some voicemails here.
Jesse Kelly, you did us wrong out here, man. I live in rural Colorado. I just stopped at the first Buc-ee's that they've opened here. What a hot mess. It looks like a Cracker Barrel experience. exploded inside a real gas station. Kitschy stuff everywhere. A $10 ham sandwich. And, to make matters worse, no squeegees by the pumps. This is Colorado. How can you not have squeegees out by the gas pump? Keep up the good work. We appreciate what you do. We love you. You're a real example of what somebody with just not a whole lot of skills can do. We appreciate you, man.
One, that's not very nice. That's not a very nice voicemail. For two, a $10 ham sandwich? I've never paid $10 for a sandwich in Buc-ee's. Chris, you would know. Are sandwiches what? They're not $10. What'd you get on that ham sandwich? I get the Philly cheesesteak. And by the way, you didn't listen to the menu whisperer. Let me tell you a little something. This is something that happened recently. Chris won't want me to tell you, but I'm going to tell you anyway. So we have this taco place. This will come back to Buc-ee's. Just stay with me. We have this taco place close to us. I would always get this special kind of taco they have there. It's glorious. It's got cheese. It's got fried chicken in it. Fried chicken in the taco. And it's just amazing. Chris would get the Jamaican chicken taco. And he swore, oh, no, it's better. It's better. It's better. You gotta, it's better. And that we would order together all the time. I'm getting my tacos. He's getting his crappy Jamaican chicken tacos. And finally, one day, I forget how this happened. Maybe I ordered extras or something. Chris, he Kamala'd down one of my fried chicken tacos. What do you think Chris orders every single time now? I don't remember the last time I saw Chris order one of his Jamaican jerk chicken tacos. And I tried to explain, Chris, you work right beside the greatest orderer of food in the history of mankind. How could you not just order what I order? Whatever I do, food-wise, just copy me, and you'll be an incredible food success like I have been. So back to you and your complaint about Buc-ee's. I wouldn't eat a ham sandwich if you gave it to me for free. Ham sandwiches suck. I told you to go in there and get the Philly cheesesteak burrito. How many times did I say get the Philly cheesesteak burrito? Chris, how many times? Every time I talk about Buc-ee's, I tell you to get a Philly cheesesteak burrito. And you walked in there and got a ham sandwich like your mama Cass, and you're upset that it cost $10, and you ruined your Buc-ee's experience. And yes, I will admit, there's a lot going on. There is a lot of decor stuff, and you can buy. Oh, I can get a cutting board and a wool dress for winter. There's nothing. You can buy a smoker. You can get whatever you want in Buc-ee's. Maybe you weren't ready to handle Buc-ee's. Maybe the problem isn't Buc-ee's. Maybe the problem is you. And as far as the squeegee goes on your windshield, I don't know about you. I have a little thing where I press a button and it sprays stuff on my windshield. My little windshield wipers just wash themselves. I know it's pretty advanced technology, but it sounds like a you problem, pal. Anyway, Jesse, question for your show. No one has mentioned how the disaster in the South will affect voting coming up in just over 30 days. What attempts will be done to ensure those facing disaster will be heard? Well, look, you don't want to make a disaster, especially what people are going through right now, about an election or politics. I know that's not what you're trying to do. It's a very fair question you asked. And I actually asked a similar question to someone who would know. I said, okay, I don't want to make it about the election, but what does this mean for these people? What does it mean? And really, if you want to look at it electorally, it probably hurts Democrats in these areas more than it hurts Republicans, because they're chasing down more ballots. They have a more robust ballot chasing operation. And if there's no cell phone service, no power, no nothing, it makes that more difficult. No matter what, I hope something is done to make sure all these people are able to vote. Now, again, I'm not going to run with unconfirmed reports. I am not. But I have now heard from several different sources that older folks are still dying as we speak, especially ones who are in need of medications. They're running out of medications. The power is going out. You know, a lot of times when you're older and your health is going down, you need equipment that has electricity attached to it to help keep yourself alive. This is not a problem that is gone and now they're just picking up the pieces. The problem is ongoing. And if you've never spent any time in the mountains, I've spent tons of time in the mountains because I grew up in Montana and I'm in Tennessee. I was down there all the time. I know what all this stuff is like. You don't have a good grasp of how remote, how isolated it is. And even in this modern era, how you can be cut off. There aren't a bunch of routes. It's not a super highway. Everywhere is in Chicago. There aren't a bunch of routes in. It's oftentimes there's one. If it's gone, you're on your own. It's that way. All right. Let's talk a little World War One, shall we? Next.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And don't forget, you can send us an email. We are live here, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. You can leave us a voicemail, 877-377-4373. We'll get back to some of those in a bit, but I got this one. Step away from politics for a minute. Dear history professor extraordinaire, I watched a series on Netflix called Peaky Blinders, in which the main characters were having nightmares and PTSD due to their service in the World War I British Army. They are part of a small group digging tunnels. They could hear the Germans digging tunnels too. At some point, the British and German tunnels intersect. Influx of air blows out the candles. They're forced into hand-to-hand combat underground in the pitch black. Is this a true account? What were the purpose of the tunnels? Says I can use his name. His name is Benny. All right, we haven't done a World War One talk in a while, so let's do a little World War One talk as it pertains to the tunnels. This may take a little bit, but just trust me on this. It's worth it. World War One is so underrated. Underrated. Now, underrated... it's a hard word, and maybe that's not the appropriate word to use because it was awful. Awful. World War One did so much to shape the world we have. The thing is, World War One is so overshadowed by World War Two, which was bigger and more damaging and killed more people and involved more countries, that World War One is just not talked about much anymore. It's not understood. It was also, and I know we have pictures and video from it, but it's not great. World War Two was not only big, it was not only bigger, but we had all the video. We have video, documentaries, pictures. It's more alive for us. But World War One, it was, we had never seen anything like it on the planet where nation states could throw army after army after army, and they would just die, and then they could produce new armies. So people were dying in droves. 25% of the French male population, casualties of war. We've never seen numbers like that. Anyway, so why was that? Well, obviously, you know about trench warfare. We're not going to go into the whole thing, but artillery really changed the game. Artillery and the machine gun changed the game. Before that, the weapons, I'm not going to say they were all single-shot weapons. That's not true. But they certainly weren't fully automatic machine guns. And artillery had been around forever. Really, you could call what the Romans were using with catapults and such artillery. But cannons count as artillery. But there's a big difference between a cannon that can shoot you 500 meters away and an artillery shell that can shoot you 25 miles away, and the round it fires is the size of a car. There's a monumental difference between the two. You know, once you lose entire units once or twice, you start having to make adjustments. The very beginning, there's actually a great book on this. The very beginning of World War One is super fascinating. The whole conflict is fascinating, but the very, very beginning of it, the book is called Guns of August. It's one of the best books I've read about the start of World War One. Let me say that again. Guns of August is the name of the book. Again, if you miss any part of the show, you can download a podcast on iHeart, Spotify, and iTunes. But allow me to do this one more time so you don't send me an email asking the name of the book. Guns of August. Anyway, at the beginning of the war, nations hadn't really figured out this whole machine gun artillery thing. meaning they hadn't figured out the destructive power of it. So when you look at what the Germans did in Belgium, the Germans were sweeping through Belgium, and you had artillery pieces blowing up forts that were buried underground, and you had men just charging machine gun after machine gun, bodies stacking up so high you had to go out and push them over to open up the fields of fire. It was just, eventually, if you're in any military, German, French, it didn't matter what the military was, you're getting casualty numbers back. You know, they're bringing you pieces of paper with casualty numbers. You're yelling at the guy thinking he missed a comma somewhere. This can't be right. What do you mean? This is the entire unit. What do you mean they're all gone? So that kind of shock is going to get a reaction. You know, in combat, there's weapons, and then you find things to counter the weapons, and then you find things that counter the weapons to counter the weapons. That's the way combat, that's the way war has always worked. What do you do when the air is full of deadly things, like shrapnel from the artillery and bullets from machine guns? Where do you go? You go down. You have to dig. You have to go underground. To this day, in the Marine Corps, we would dig fighting holes, and in the Army, they call them foxholes. To this day, men will dig. Russia, Ukraine, huge trench fighting whole thing, because the air is full of things that will kill you. So you have to get below the air. Trench warfare became the name of the game. And that's what most people know World War I for, trench warfare. But what trench warfare creates is a situation that is just more terrible than you can imagine, because lines aren't moving. Battle lines don't move. We have our trench. You have your trench. You're dug in. It's defended. You have snipers. You have machine guns. You have barbed wire. You have artillery. They are dug in. They have all the same stuff you have, but you both want to advance. You want to advance into their trench. You need to take territory. That's the nature of war. And so, just like you've heard stories about, they would send entire units over the top. It's what they called it. They'd blow whistles, your whole unit would go over the top, and oftentimes the whole unit would die almost immediately. Just bullets would fill the air and die. So if you can't go up, you must go down. And that's where the tunnels come in. I'll explain a little bit more in a moment, and then we'll get back to politics. Before I do that, you may need some chalk for this next segment. You're going to need some T-levels, because we're talking hand-to-hand ancient combat in the dark. It's crazy, and it's awesome. And also, you just need some natural herbal supplements from Chalk in your life to make you feel better all the time. And it is Chalktober. Maybe you woke up today thinking, oh my gosh, it's October 4th. You're dead wrong. It's Chalktober 4th, baby. Chalktober is the discount month. The discount month. If you've been waiting, wondering, I'm not sure, I don't know if I want to spend the money, stop wondering. Now is when you try it. Go get a subscription, chalk.com, promo code Jesse. Take advantage of Chalktober, or you can call them, text them, 50CHALK3000, 50CHALK3000. Take advantage. We'll be back to talk World War I. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly, back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We are going to get to the talking heads talking about Trump and new charges against Trump. We have voicemails to get to, attacking Iran's nuclear sites. All this stuff is still to come. Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about the jobs numbers. There's a big fat disclaimer we need to throw on that thing. All that and more is still to come on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. For now, a guy emailed a question asking about the tunnels of World War I. He didn't understand why they were there, what happened. So I just talked about the trenches and why the trenches became. And remember, there are places, they're very overgrown now. I've never personally been, but there are places in Europe where you can see the trenches to this day. The trench network was so extensive. There were rooms, there were barracks, there was wallpaper in some of them, carpet. I don't want to make it sound like it was nice. It was not. It was a horrific place to fight, a horrific way to fight, but they were that extensive. But you still need to advance. And they were constantly beating their heads against the wall, trying to figure out, each side was, how do we advance against a dug-in enemy? One of the reasons the Germans were used gas, poison gas. That's famous now. Everyone knows the Germans use poison gas. One of the reasons they did it, they thought it would be, and for a while it was, an effective way to clear out the enemy trench. If the gas is heavier than the air, you wait till the winds are right, you release your gas canisters, you let it float across the field, it gets to the trench, it sinks in the trench, everyone dies a horrific death, I might point out, in the trench, and you, okay, so you get the idea. How do you take out someone in a trench? Tunnels began almost immediately, and tunnels were used for a couple different reasons. One of the main reasons they would use tunnels is this. They would dig a tunnel towards the enemy trench with the intention of packing that thing full of explosives when they got under the enemy defensive fortifications and setting off the explosives. The British did this, and I don't have the details because I'm doing this off the top of my head. I forget some of the details of it. But the British did this once, and it was so big, I believe it may still stand as the largest non-nuclear explosion in the history of the world. They essentially blew up a mountain. They spent forever digging underneath the Germans. The Germans were dug in on this mountain, and they just set it all off at once and just straight up vaporized a mountain of people. That was the point of the tunnels, and both sides were doing it. Both sides were digging tunnels. Now, I don't know how much experience you have with underground stuff, but it is, it's not for everybody. You know, I come from a construction family. That's what my dad did. It's what his dad did. That's what we did. But we didn't build houses or roads. And I've done some of that stuff. But what we did was underground infrastructure, underground water and sewer lines. That's really what we did. That's what the Kellys did. And so I've spent a lot of time in a trench, a very, very, very deep trench. 30, 40 feet. You're just looking up. Quit shaking your head, Chris. Oh, Chris, it's nerve-wracking. And you see the shoring, the things you put up to keep the trench walls. And I sounded like Batman there. The things you put up to keep the trench walls from caving in. And even then, it's claustrophobic. It's kind of intimidating. And that's with modern technology, modern regulations. It's a lot. Now, rewind to back then. Think about the technology they were working with. You would dig straight down. You dig a hole straight down. And then with shovels, that's really what it was, shovels and picks and buckets, you and a crew of men would aim towards the enemy trenches and you would start digging your tunnel their direction. Now, the problem is this. And honestly, this might be one of the most, it really might be this and the tunnel rats of Vietnam, it might be the most horrific combat I think I've ever heard of in my life. I don't have whatever that is, whatever these guys had. The enemy's digging a tunnel towards you, you're digging a tunnel towards them. You are not generally planning on running into them. That's not the idea. You are diggers. You send diggers down there. They're digging things out. I told you what the plan was. The plan was you get it far enough, pack it full of explosives, blow up the other guys. But oftentimes, look, there's only so much ground. You're fighting over a specific area. Oftentimes, the tunnels would be heading towards each other, and the two sides wouldn't know it. It's not like you gave the other side a heads up. Hey, we got a tunnel here. That's not how it works. And if that wall was breached, and this happened many, many, many times, if that wall was breached, well, you don't shake hands. You don't say, hey, Fritz, it's good to see you down here. It's on. When you run into each other, it's on. And the men of World War I who had to dig these tunnels are some of the bravest human beings who have ever lived. They would bring brass knuckles with them. They would bring daggers with them. You name a blunt or relatively small weapon, they would bring it along. And they would bring it along because with a decent amount of regularity, you would run into the opposing side's tunnel and you would have a fight hand-to-hand in a tunnel under the ground in the dark. You don't even know. If you read some of the accounts, let's say you brought a dagger with you and you get in one of these tunnel fights. Look, you don't have a ton of light anyway. You're dealing with little old lamps and such. But how quickly does one of those lamps get kicked over, knocked down, broken? Even if it's on, it's not providing that much light. You're just stabbing any piece of flesh you find trying to live in the dark. You think you know bravery? I think I know bravery. I don't know nothing about bravery. I couldn't even imagine. Now, maybe it's because I'm claustrophobic, not with things over my mouth or something like that, not in a plane or an elevator, not in that way, but if I'm in something where my shoulders are touching the walls or something like that, that's a no-go for me, so maybe it's that. But I couldn't imagine anything more horrific than that. It reminds me, that's right, Chris, it reminds me of the tunnel rats of Vietnam. Those absurdly brave. Here's a flashlight and a knife. Put it in between your teeth like a daggone pirate and crawl underneath inside of a tunnel where there are booby traps of snakes and spiders and just spikes themselves. Viet Cong sitting down there waiting to shove a bamboo spear in your neck and trap you there. That is something that happened. It's just, I could not imagine that kind of combat. But men are brave. There's a lot of courage out there, and men are brave. Some men are brave enough. I'm not brave enough to do that, but some men are, and they deserve our unending respect. Go pick up some World War II books, and if you ever see a decent World War I World War I documentary, there aren't very many of them, watch it. And again, the reason there aren't that many of them is there's not as much picture in video. They can still do a good documentary on it. They do great Civil War documentaries, and there was no video, obviously, from back then. But there aren't that many decent World War I documentaries. That movie that came out not long ago, 1917 was the name of the movie. Now, I'm a World War I buff, and so I went into that movie ready to be extremely judgmental about how they did it. I will tell you, it was outstanding and extremely accurate for what a lot of World War I combat was like. Not for kiddos. Kids, make sure you ask your parents. It was definitely rated R. I don't think there was any perverted stuff, but it was a gory affair. It was definitely bloody. 1917, if you're more of a movie person, or if you're like Chris and you can't read. All right, let's talk about disaster preparation, attacking Iran's nuclear sites, what the media is doing to Donald Trump, and so much more. Non-perishable food, it's something that's certainly in the news now, isn't it? You know, again, when I tell you about My Patriot Supply and their emergency food kits, they sell these four-week emergency food kits, which are $50 off right now. But when I tell you that, it can be hard to convince yourself to spend that money because you don't need it right now. But that's the problem with disaster preparation. You don't know when you're going to need it. You don't have a heads up ahead of time. I'm going to tell you something. It's going to sound weird. I hope your My Patriot Supply stuff goes to waste. I pray mine does. I don't ever want to have to need it. But if I do happen to have to need it, if the grocery store is gone, EMP, flood, whatever, me, my family, we will be eating well. Go get an emergency food kit, $50 off. Preparewithjesse.com is the website. Preparewithjesse.com. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can send us love, hate, death threats, Ask Dr. Jesse questions, whatever you want, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Leave a voicemail if you'd like, 877-377-4373. Let's go back to the voicemail.
Oh, great Oracle. One thing J.D. Vance does that Trump could really learn from is not taking the bait. Regardless of how you watch him in the debate last night or any interviews he does with these communist news anchors, he does not take the bank and is able to immediately go on the offense instead of constantly on the defense.
Yeah, look, what JD did was awesome. And what that guy just said is a big part of it. He never takes the bait. Never took the bait. Look, we all have weaknesses and flaws, right? I have more weaknesses and flaws than you do, believe me. We all have things about us that aren't perfect. Nobody's perfect. Trump has a weakness that Kamala Harris and others have exploited before. She exploited it during that debate. Trump has a gigantic ego. He does. Look, most people like that in that kind of leadership position have gigantic egos. He's not unique there. It's just one to be one of those guys, you have to. He has a gigantic ego. He's proud of things like his business resume. He's proud of things like how many people show up at his rallies for Trump. That is a source of pride. He's proud of those things. He brags about it often. And Kamala Harris, honestly, it was a smart move by her campaign. Kamala Harris decided to exploit that pride during the debate and get him talking about something other than inflation and immigration. And so that's why, you know, you just toss that out there. Guy's got a big ego. It's like telling someone they have tiny hands. It wounds them. Hey, Jesse and Chris, I'm noticing that the regular talking heads in the media are really trumping up the false claim that Trump was refusing to leave office and the DOJ is now bringing new modified charges against him. Do you think this will be successful? What you're seeing right now is desperation. That's why Jack Smith has come up with these new charges. I had a chance to talk to Josh Hammer, kind of a legal expert friend of mine. He's come on the show several times. And he said these are all ridiculous, and honestly, the Supreme Court will probably wash these away. Look, put a smile on your face, even if you are one of these people who hates Donald Trump. It looks like the law fair against Donald Trump, if he wins the election, I need to put in that disclaimer, if he wins the election, it looks like all this evil law fair Democrats tried to do to Trump failed. Now, some of that went our way because of the Supreme Court. That was huge. A huge chunk of it went our way because, well, look, we lucked out. Fannie Willis having an affair with the prosecutor she put in charge to go after Trump really blew up the Georgia case that was going to be the big, big, big problem. It was going to send him to Georgia State Prison. It looks like the lawfare failed on some level. I almost didn't want to use the word failed because, one, Trump is still dealing with this gigantic financial judgment in New York. It's hard to make people care about that because Trump's a billionaire and people don't feel bad about billionaires losing a bunch of money. But the injustice of that was a ridiculous judgment. That still went through. You know, he's still a felon. That matters to people. Well, some people, it wouldn't bother me, but it matters to people a lot. That's a big deal. So as far as it stopping Trump, it's not going to work. They're desperate right now. They're showing their desperation right now. You are seeing it in the polls. You're seeing it in the betting market. The betting market is actually something that's kind of smart to follow when it comes to politics, as they know that everything right now looks like it's going our direction. Doesn't mean we get complacent. Doesn't mean we sit at home. It's from my perspective, it's difficult to see how Kamala Harris could win the race with the numbers I've seen. She's lost every man. She's not getting every woman. She's still going to get a majority of the women. Trump is probably going to get a higher percentage of the black vote than anyone has on the Republican ticket for a long time. No, he's not going to get 50%. Don't believe anyone who says that, but he might get 15. If he gets 15, that's a big deal. He might get 15 to 20. That's a big deal. He's going to break off half the Latino vote in the country. Republicans don't do that. It looks like it's going our way. We'll see what happens, but it looks like it's going our way. So what you're going to see between now and Election Day is a lot of desperation. That does make me nervous. Desperate communist is a very, very dangerous thing, but still, put a smile on your face. Jesse, after Iran has attacked Israel twice, don't you think we should attack their nuclear sites? Blow it up. Well, for one, we shouldn't do anything. Nothing. If Israel wants to conduct a war, understandably, Israel should conduct a war. And Israel, frankly, doesn't need our help conducting this war. They've not asked really for outside of munitions and things like that we buy for them. They haven't really asked for any significant assistance, nor should we give it, nor can we afford it. We have Americans who can't afford to live right now. We are not in other people's business right now, even allies of ours. The only job we would have if Israel decided to go all in on Iran, the only job we as a country would have would be running interference against the UN. The UN hates Israel. They hate the Jews. They hate Israel. They would immediately try to launch some kind of a significant effort to stop Israel, but the UN can't really do anything that defies us because we are the UN. We provide so much of the funding and everything else. The UN, look, I don't want to say we are the UN. That's probably not the way to put it, but we have veto power. The UN is not going to do anything that the United States of America doesn't want them to do. So that would really, that'd be all we need. Now, that doesn't mean we can't do things on a personal level to help the Israeli people. Maybe we talk about the IFCJ all the time. What's that about? That's about the civilians and the hell they're living through right now. Look, I've been in bunkers before, and it's not pleasant. And that was when I was in uniform and was expected to be. School kids going to a bunker, that's awful. Having to have ambulances that are armored, that's friggin' terrible. But that's how you live right now if you're a civilian in Israel. So if you want to help the citizens, if you want to help the people there with what they're going through, IFCJ needs your help. 888-488-IFCJ. Or you can go online to supportifcj.org. All right? Supportifcj.org. Now, maybe you saw some bragging today about the jobs numbers. We got some jobs numbers out there, and the White House ran to spike the football on the jobs numbers. Look at these amazing jobs numbers. Well, one, I need to remind you that virtually every jobs report this administration has put out has been revised down, way down later on, because they always lie about the first jobs report. That's one. Two, when I actually give you the details of this jobs report, it's going to make your head pop off. So let's pop off your head. Next.
This is an iHeart podcast.